Good morning. The first lesson is found in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36, beginning with verse 24. For I will take you out of the nations. I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back to the land, into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Then you will live in the land I gave your ancestors. You will be my people and I will be your God. I will save you from all your uncleanness. The word of the Lord. The psalm reading is Psalm 51, verses 10 through 12, and we are going to be singing it. Please follow the worship leaders. The second lesson is found in the book of Philippians, chapter 2, beginning with verse 9. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, and that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the reading of the gospel.
The gospel reading is found in the Gospel of John, chapter 17, beginning with verse 13. Jesus said, I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They're not of the world, even as I'm not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I've sent them into the world. For them, I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. The Gospel of the Lord. All right, please be seated, and I want to welcome Raina to come and share about COPI with Children of Peace International with us.
Children of Peace International is a humanitarian organization which exists to serve the people of Vietnam by developing the capability of the people to help themselves. For over 30 years, COPI has provided scholarships for elementary school through advanced degrees, built schools, school dormitories, supported orphanages, led medical dental mission trips, and provided education for caregivers. I want to thank you for supporting COPI individually and as a church for over 30 years. You have provided funding, given toys, made dignity dresses, and sent members on medical missions to Vietnam. You have supported COPI since Bing Rybecki, the founder of the organization, was first invited to speak here by Pastor Jim in 1994. On December 31st, 2023, Bing Rybecki unexpectedly passed away in her sleep. The COPI board has assumed her responsibilities for the organization. It's a huge job that requires a team to fill her shoes. Any of you that knew her know that even a team cannot fill her shoes. To honor her and her legacy, COPI will continue her work in Vietnam. For at least 25 years, COPI led medical dental mission trips to Vietnam. In the early years, the team consisted of 80% Americans and 20% Vietnamese. It was always Bing's dream to have enough consistent Vietnamese volunteers to fill an entire team. Her dream has become a reality. This September, COPI had its first 100% Vietnamese medical dental mission trip. It was on a smaller scale, but they saw 435 adult and child patients. We hope to continue these smaller trips at least twice a year with our Vietnamese team. To honor Bing and her legacy, COPI will continue to provide scholarships for elementary, secondary, vocational, and college students. Bing didn't always award scholarships to the brightest and best students. She wanted the average students who needed just a little boost to be successful. We have two consulting employees, both of which were scholarship recipients, in Vietnam that monitor every scholarship recipient. They monitor if they're staying in school. If they are not, they investigate why and provide resources to help them stay in school. Bing understood that education is foundational to improving the lives of the Vietnamese people. COPI will continue to support orphanages by providing support to the workers. We will continue building schools and dormitories and provide improvement projects for existing facilities. We just finished improving the Sun Phong Compassionate Home that serves as a before and after school daycare for poor families that otherwise would not be able to send their kids to school or be able to work to provide for their families. We are currently building a kindergarten in Sapa in the mountains of northern Vietnam for indigenous children. With your continued support, we can continue projects like these. COPI will be selling Vietnamese items in the lobby to raise funds to continue our work in Vietnam. Some of our board members are here so that they can answer any questions that you have. And I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart again for your love and support of the Vietnamese people.
Thanks, Raina. All right, let's pray. Lord Heavenly Father, thank you for what you do in us that we could never do for ourselves, and you give it, you do it with a purpose. Because you want us to be a united family that points the way to Jesus so that we can walk with you and be with you and love with you forever, Lord God. So as we hear your word this morning about saints, Lord, help us to remember that you do love us and you want us to be with you for all eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. So last week I said we'd part two this one out, and it may actually be a part three, but we're answering the question, what is a saint this week again? Next week, I want to go with, so I'm a saint, so what? Right? It really, you need to ask that so what question sometimes, and so I'm really going to hone in next week on so what? What does it mean to be a saint? Why does it matter to me? Why does it matter to the world? But today, wanted to continue to kind of clarify, what is a saint? What is a saint? And we're refined for commission. That's what we're going to focus on today. If you remember last week, what we said was that a saint is a person who is made holy by God to point the way to Jesus. And even all the saints in the Old Testament, that was their job too, to be made holy by God to point the way to Jesus. Saints in the New Testament, made holy by God to point the way to Jesus. Saints today, made holy by God to point the way to Jesus. That's what a saint is, a person who is made holy by God to point the way to Jesus. And Jesus prepares us. He refines us, and he brings us together. That's the goal. And I'm struck as I read Scripture from the very beginning, from the creation story, how God wants to do things as a family. To do things together. He certainly could have prepared the world for Jesus without any of our help. He didn't need our help. But he loves our company. And he loves us as his children. And he loves us to do things together. And so he prepares us to work with him, to be in co-mission with him. And he refines us to be in co-mission with him. I think John the Baptist is a really good example for this. Now, I got to go off and give you my disclaimer. This is a Jeff musing, and so I can't back this up with any other theological whatever. Ha ha ha. All right. But I don't think it's a coincidence that God chose John the Baptist, who was actually Jesus' own biological cousin, to be the one, the first person we see in the New Testament that prepares the way for Jesus. And the reason I say that is because God cares about us being a family. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God, one of my favorite old songs from when I was growing up. God prepares us and makes us to be a family. And he actually used a blood relative of Jesus to point the way to him at first. I don't think that's a mistake. I think that's on purpose. And then he would show us that to him, there's no difference between biology and adoption. And when we're adopted into the family through the blood of Jesus, we're his. We're his, and we're in it together. We're in this mission, co-mission together. And he refines us into holiness so that we can do that. When John the Baptist came out of the wilderness to preach and to baptize, all of his sermons were about repenting. It was about holiness. His baptisms were about forgiveness of sins. He was there to help us get ready, to shorten the path, to make the path straight between Jesus and us. His whole reason for living was to point to Jesus and say, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And John, Matthew tells us that John came out of the wilderness wearing clothes made out of camel's hair, a leather belt, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And you could look at that and go, is Matthew trying to tell us that John was a weirdo? Or why was Matthew, what's the point of that? And if you were a Jew, if you were a Jew in the first century, that would mean a lot to you. Because what the author of Matthew is saying is that this guy, John, was walking in covenant law. All of that stuff about camel's hair and leather belts and locusts and hides, that's all in Leviticus. It's in the Torah. And so what Matthew's telling us is that John was walking in holiness. He was talking in holiness. People saw what he was doing, heard what he was saying, and they said, that's the real deal. People didn't go to John to be baptized by him for forgiveness of sins because he was some sideshow freak that they were, you know, coming to see the show. That's how he's portrayed a lot. We need to know that he was a man that people respected. Jesus said he was not a reed bent in the wind. Jesus said, of men born of women, none is greater than John the Baptist. I mean, John was people that was a person that people looked at and said, this guy is modeling holiness for us. If he can do it, maybe we can do it. And he's saying we need forgiveness, and he's pointing to somebody who's going to save our lives and make us right with God forever. It's a very important, bold statement. And it didn't happen for John overnight. Sanctification happens when we're saved and we're filled with the Holy Spirit. But let's face it, it's also a lifelong process. And John did have the benefit of the Holy Spirit fell upon him while he was still in his mother's womb. Thank God for a gift like that. But he was still a human man. He was still a human being. And he was a rabbi. He was called a rabbi. He had disciples. He had his own disciples. You didn't get called a rabbi in the Jewish world unless you were really a rabbi. People don't get to just call themselves that. He had a lifelong trajectory of learning God's word and walking in holiness and proving it and being tested and so forth. And so when he came out preaching, the kingdom of heaven has come near, repent and believe the good news. Be washed for the forgiveness of sins so you can have a straight path. Prepare the way of the Lord. Here he comes. And so he's such a good example of what holiness is and what we as saints should be. Pointing the way to Jesus. Pointing the way to Jesus. Being a saint starts with God's forgiveness when we're washed clean by the blood of the Lamb. And then we become a welcome home for the Holy Spirit. And then as the Holy Spirit works worship in and word into our lives, as we live for our Lord Jesus, we are constantly being filled and being refined by his holiness. Now, I love the idea of how the Holy Spirit works worship and the word into us. James talks like this about anointing people. Anoint the sick with oil. Anoint them. And the word that anointing actually is it means to work it in. Don't just give them a dot. Work it in, right? And so you think, you ever play baseball, you have a brand new glove, you got to oil the glove, and you got to work that in, right? That's what God, the Holy Spirit does to us. He makes us pliable. He makes us receptive. He works his word, he works his holiness, he works his spirit into us. And that's what happened to John his whole life. So that he could decrease and Jesus could increase and he could point the way to Jesus, right? So this is who we are. He refines us. I want you to think of that word refined, such a great word. It's an Old Testament word. It comes up a lot in the Old Testament. How we're refined by the holiness of God in terms of making something that's impure, pure. Refining is also kind of this process where, you know, you develop. So I always think of food critics. You know, they have this refined palate. And God's word, when God refines us, our tastes really do change. Remember the movie Ratatouille? Okay. I did some stuff for Pixar back in long time ago, funeral, things like that. So I have like this inside story on that movie, so sometime I'll tell you that. It's a really fun story, but not today, but you can ask. But there's a character in there, he's a food critic. And the chef comes to him and says, you're awfully skinny for a guy who says he likes food. And the critic responds, I don't like food, I love food, and if I don't like it, I spit it out. I love that line. That's kind of a holiness line. See, he refines us. His holiness refines us. He changes our palate. And so we should know the difference between something worldly and something holy. And if it's not holy, spit it out. You know? He makes that happen. When God refines us, our tastes do change. So being refined, what does being refined means that you've encountered the fire of his holiness. This is a very Ezekiel way of looking at it. You're refined by the fire of his holiness. You're filled with the Holy Spirit and fire. You know, John the Baptist said, you will be baptized by the Holy Spirit and fire. That's a throwback to Ezekiel. You know, you're going to be refined. And so the Holy Spirit baptizes us in the Word of God over and over again. I love the word baptism for obvious reasons, but also, you know, because there's an immersion. That's what baptizo means. It means to immerse. And when we're immersed again and again in the holiness of God, he refines us, he changes us, he purges us. So we're purged by the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Let's look at Zechariah 13. This is what we usually think of when we think of the refining fire of the Holy Spirit, the refining fire of holiness. The verse actually starts, this third I will put into the fire. So there's a lot of people, there's a lot of Jews, but two-thirds of them have basically turned their back on God. But there's a third, there's a remnant. He says, these are people who love me. These are people who are going to work with me. These are people who are going to obey me. I'm going to work with them. So he says, this third, I'm going to put them, it's going to hurt. They're going to get refined. We're going to be refined. So he says, this third I'll put into the fire. I will refine them like silver and test them like gold. I love that concept, to test like gold. What was the ancient way to test if gold was pure? You melt it, right? And then you get it so hot that the impurities start to bubble up and foam up, and they'd scoop those out and do it again and again and again and again. And as the gold, the molten gold got pure, once it would be like glass, and you could see your reflection in it, and that's how you knew that the gold was pure. Well, we are tested. I'll test them like gold. In other words, the world will see us and see God's reflection in us as he makes us pure, as he makes us holy. And then God says, they will call on my name and I will answer them. I will say, they're my people. Don't you love that? You're his people. You're his family. This is my family, God says, right? And they will say, oh, the Lord is our God. And that's our response to being made holy, to being saints. Saints are people who are made pure and holy by God to point the way to Jesus, and it's a refining process. He scoops out all the impurities. And he burns them away. Ezekiel 36 says, I will take you out of the nations. I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back into your own land. I love that idea. I will take you out, but you're not going to be out of the world. You're not of the world. You're in the world. You're not of the world. So I'm going to set you apart. Holiness is something that sets us apart. God, love for God's will and God's ways is something that sets us apart, but it's not exclusive because we want the whole world to be part of the family of God, right? So he says, I will set you apart. He says, I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I can't help but think of baptism with that, right? But he will sprinkle us. That's a temple word. That's temple language. That sprinkling with water to purify things. And he says, I'm going to do that to you. I'm going to make you clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. This is a big deal. Really important concept. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. Why? Because idols are the source of our impurity. Our idols, those things that are ultimately more important to us than God at any given moment, those are the things that cause impurity in our lives. So smash the idols, get rid of the idols, and then the impurities will be gone too. So I'll cleanse you from all your impurities and from your idols. He says, I'll give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I'll remove from you, your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Then you will live, I would just stop a bit, in the land I gave your ancestors. You will be my people, and I will be your God. I will save you from all of your uncleanness. And for what, right? So this concept, I love this idea. I'm going to take your heart of stone. Stone is a cold, dead thing. Unmovable, unstretchable, dead. I'm going to make it a heart of flesh. Flesh is a warm, living thing. A fleshy heart. We need a warm, living heart to live, to have life. Okay? So I'm going to take the dead thing, and I'm going to make it a live thing. I'm going to take the cold thing, and I'm going to make it a warm thing. He transforms us. He refines us. And in his holiness, we become holy, and we get to point the way to Jesus. It's a great system. And then we live. He says, I'm going to give you life. Being sanctified, being purified, being refined, and being in commission together with God, that's living. It's heaven. And when we're involved in it, we're active in it, it's just nothing better. Living is being in commission with God, made holy by him, to point the way to Jesus. Now, in Philippians, Philippians 2, 1 through about 12, that's a very ancient faith statement of the church. But here in verses 9 through 11, this is who we have to remember Jesus is. And I love this. Therefore God exalted him, Jesus, to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So, whenever I hear that, whenever I read Philippians 2, it reminds me of Billy Graham. Because I grew up going to Billy Graham Crusades, watching them on TV whenever they were on, and he would always use those verses. And I'm paraphrasing, because it's been a little while, but he would say, you know, there will be a time when, and it's Judgment Day, when everyone on earth, in heaven, on earth, under the earth, will bow and confess that Jesus is Lord. And my heart is to tell you that if you do this today, then you walk with Jesus, with God in life for all eternity. But you're going to do it one day, whether you do it today or not. The thing, though, that you need to know is that if it happens on Judgment Day, then you walk in eternity without God in death. And my heart is to say, take life. Take the gift and see what heaven is like now. That's what saints are called to do. Made pure by God to point the way to Jesus. Not so God can manipulate or control, but so God can love. And so that we can be that family of God that God has in mind. Okay? When his church is made holy in him, and we live in commission with him and each other, Paul says, we become lights that shine like the stars in heaven. And there's a unity emphasis here. He says, do everything without grumbling or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. In other words, be unified in Christ, refined by God, by the Holy Spirit, to be one in him in holiness without fault, then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. It's a word of life. It's really good news. It's really good news. And so in a world that's full of darkness, when the local church, you know, and God has a big family with a lot of churches, but when the local church is united in mission, united in love for Jesus, united in love for one another, we shine and the world goes, that doesn't look like what's going on out here. I want what that is. That's as unity and love is as important part of sanctification as anything else. We need to be one in Jesus. And then, you know, refining, like I said, with the food critic thing, is our tastes change. God changes us. He refines our holiness palate, okay? And David, you know, we sang Psalm 50, created in me a clean heart. He understood how his idol of lust just about ruined him and the kingdom. And he begged for God to give him a new, because he committed adultery and essentially murder, and he needed a new heart. And he knew that. And so he begged for it, and God gave it to him. But David, this is what David knows that causes that kind of refinement to happen. He wrote, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him." Taking refuge in him means diving in and staying there. When you think about refuge, you think about, you know, I'm surrounded by a mighty fortress is our God, right? Take refuge in him. I think about Mary and Martha and how Mary sat at his feet. She took refuge in him. That's taking refuge in him. So when we take refuge in him, taste and see that the Lord is good, and he refines our palates, and when he changes our tastes, the thing that I hope happens to all of us is that when our tastes change because of holiness, and we taste and see that God is good, then I know that if it's me, it doesn't taste good. If it's the world, it doesn't taste good. If it's the devil, it doesn't taste good. Before I tasted holiness, I thought I knew what was good. But now I've tasted and seen how good God is, and if I don't like it, I'm going to spit it out of my mouth. So we taste and see. And there's nothing to compare it to. Nothing to compare that with. A few weeks ago, I went on that book signing, and I have a friend down in Vegas, and he took me to these restaurants that I couldn't afford to tip the person to get a seat in these places, all right? So I thought that I knew what a good steak tasted like, and I was so wrong. I was just wrong. And now I'm ruined. Because I had this mind-blowing food. Really? Food can taste like this? I made the mistake on the way home. You know, I got this blood sugar stuff. I had a cheeseburger from McDonald's. I got madder and madder at myself with every bite. Because now I know what good tastes like. What the best tastes like. This is God. If we know it's good, if we know it's God, if we know that that's the best. So spit the world out. And taste and see that the Lord is good. He refines us for his purpose. He refines us for his glory. When we taste and see that the Lord is good and we take refuge in him, we won't settle for anything less. Then he creates in us a new heart. He fills us with his Holy Spirit and he renews a right spirit within us. Then, as John the Baptist, we decrease and he increases. The gold test. You see the reflection of Jesus. We become branches, like we talked about last week, branches in John 15, who are pruned to bear much fruit. And that's not just any fruit. It's fruit that lasts. This is the fruit of everlasting life that comes from pointing the way to Jesus as a family of God. It's a harvest. It's so good to be used by God like that. It's life-giving. And I want to give you this prayer. You know, go back to this prayer that Jesus prayed from John 17. This is so important. Everything we've been talking about, Jesus talks about right in this prayer. It's we call it the high priestly prayer. And Jesus Christ prayed for you 2,000 years ago in this prayer. He said, and he's praying to God the Father, he says, sanctify them, God. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. He works in the word. He works it in through worship. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I've sent them into the world. We have the same commission with Jesus. We call it the Great Commission. We have the same commission with Jesus. For them, I sanctify myself. Sanctify. He set himself apart for us. I sanctify myself that they too may be truly sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone. Here's where Jesus prays for us. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I'm in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. Do you think Jesus cares, God cares about us being one? In him and in each other and in the Holy Spirit, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. The gold test, the reflection of Jesus in all of us, and especially when we work together. We are saints of God, made holy by the blood of Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, transformed by his holiness, made one in him to live for him and point the way to Jesus. Now, I want to end today with this, I call it SPAPS. SPAP, Saints Practical Application Plan. Okay? Seek daily refinement. In other words, take refuge in him. Spend time in prayer and scripture daily to allow God's word to, and spirit to purify your heart like John the Baptist did. Number two, live differently. All right? Spit it out. If it's not of the Lord, spit it out. Embrace God's standards over worldly values. Letting your lifestyle reflect the changes that God brings. And number three, point to Jesus. Actively share God's love and truth through words and actions. Yes, we need to pray for people to be saved, but we also need to talk to them about it. We need to show them. So through words and actions, guiding others toward Jesus by showing what a life filled with the Holy Spirit looks like. And I have one little, there's on your sheet, there's several practical applications, but there's one challenge that I have for you this week, this application. This week, identify one idol or worldly influence in your life and replace it with a daily habit of worship, such as praying, reading scriptures, or serving others to draw closer to God and point the way to Jesus in your actions. Now, such as, I told you years ago, and I couldn't have been more grateful for it, you know, in recent weeks, I gave up political talk radio, like years ago, because all it did was make me mad. That was an idol for me, and it made me cranky, and that's not the kind of person that I should be as a follower of. I'm not saying that for you, but I'm saying pick what's an idol that puts worldly food in your mouth that you can spit out and replace with worship or with prayer time or better with Bible study time or in serving with you. You'll be so much happier, and you'll be a person that points the way to Jesus. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for your word and your spirit. Work yourself into us, Holy Spirit, as we serve you, as we study your word, as we pray, as we worship. Lord God, you make us saints for your purpose to point the way to Jesus because you love us, you love the world, you love everybody in it, and you want us forever. So make us part of the plan. and help us to be submitted to working with you and each other on it. In Jesus' name, amen.